Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You're listening to Pixels in Flesh, an Anderson Dexter novel, written and read by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information, visit darusha.ca. Chapter 20. It was like someone had taken a vid of the meeting a few weeks before. Dex, Susanna Bells, and Captains Zhang, Biagini, and Larson all sat around the big boardroom table in the squad offices, in exactly the same place as they'd been before. Old habits. This time, though, there were no charts or files piled in the center of the table, and Annabelle had joined them. He supposed that he could have done this in a report, but Dex felt like it deserved a face-to-face. At least, avatar to avatar. You know that I've been spending a lot of time in the social spaces for trainees at Better Biz Brigade, hoping to see if anyone there has any connection to or information on whoever is instigating these storefront attacks. There were nods around the table, some a bit more impatient than others. Before anyone gets their hopes up too much, I found no direct evidence that points to any individual or group being involved in the attacks. Someone groaned, but Dex went on before anyone could add voice to complaint. However, I am convinced we are on the right track. BBB is, without a doubt, a meeting point and training ground for people who are engaged in direct resistance to the firms. What do you mean, resistance? That was Susanna Bell's. That's the word they use, Dex explained. The firms are, of course, motivated by profit, and the path to greater profit often goes against the best interests of the people who generate it, employees and consumers. The people at BBB are trying to push back against the aspects of the system that hurt the people at the bottom. So they're revolutionaries, Biagini said, almost approvingly. Dex shrugged. Maybe. Most of the people I've talked to don't think of what they are doing as trying to overthrow the economic system we have exactly. More like augment it. Annabelle broke in. It's very much in the same vein as what we are doing with keeping M-City accessible and decentralized, but their focus is in the physical world. So if you think these are the good guys, how are they going to help our investigation? Larson asked. I think BBB as an organization is working for the kind of changes we'd all support. But as an organization, it's mostly a set of canned course material, a user database, and meeting space. It's in that meeting space where the real business is getting done, and that's just folks. Folks who all have their own opinions and perspectives on things. It's not a monolith. And it's also not that small. Dex pulled up a chart of anonymous users divided by geographical login area. Of course, we all know there are lots of ways to spoof your location, and I have no doubt whatsoever that some not-small percentage of the BBB user base employs those tools on the regular. But putting that aside for a moment, you can see that BBB has logins from everywhere. Dex had the chart redeploy its data to show a world map with logins highlighted. There were no landmasses unrepresented, and a few dots even appeared offshore. Because logins are anonymized, and people come and go, there's no way to know how many people are currently active. Also, each user's level of involvement is highly variable. One person might sign up for a single course, and that's the end of it. Someone else might share their login with a friend, while another uses the meeting space as their primary social life. But, best guess? There are thousands of people from all over who are actively involved in some level of street action, organized via BBB. Dex paused to let everyone digest the information. So, what's your next step? Captain Zhang asked. I've gotten friendly with a group that's local to me. They have been helping to set up a kind of streeter community with basic supplies and information. Everything I've heard about what they do sounds like they're perfectly reasonable, But there have also been some conversations on the boards that are, Dex thought for the right word, more extreme. Definitely on the revolutionary side of things. Like what? Like debating how it might be possible to hold a firm accountable for firing someone without cause. Like discussion about whether it's acceptable to appropriate personal items supplied through employment once that employment ends. You mean stealing? Dex shrugged. I'd say so. Others in the group argue that it's stealing for the firm to demand the return of those items. Anyway, we don't need to have the debate. I'm just letting you know the kind of ideas being thrown around. Which makes me wonder if some of these people might know of anyone who is taking matters into their own hands. Or maybe doing it themselves, Zhang said. Exactly. It's a long shot, but it's the only shot we have. So I'm going to be joining up with their physical world group tomorrow. Is that safe? Larson asked. I can't see why not, Dex said. I'm already a part of their group in the online space. They trust me. And as I said, there's nothing that they are doing that I can't support. All the red flags are just from talk, and there's nothing wrong with talk. Well, it's your call, Larson said. This meeting isn't in some broken-down old warehouse in the back of Beyond at 2 a.m. and also come alone? Dex laughed. Nope, it's in a public square in the middle of the afternoon. Seriously, even if these people are the ones doing the attacks, I don't think they are dangerous. Misguided, maybe, but even the ones with the most out-there views are trying to create a better world. I'm sure of that. Dex got Larson to reluctantly agree, and the meeting broke up. Before she could leave, Dex cornered Zahara Zhang. Got a minute? Sure, she said. See you in my office in 5. She nodded and linked out of the boardroom. Does any of this mean anything to you? Dex asked after explaining what he'd found about Oyuba, Colex, and Arena Nightingale. Zhang frowned. I apprenticed at a company that was a subsidiary of Oyuba, she said. But it wasn't Colex. She flipped through the papers. I'd left that job long before Colex was even spun out. It was a long time ago, Dex, and I wasn't there very long. You know how it goes. Dex nodded. Apprenticeship? You'd have been living in a company dorm then, right? Sure, she smiled knowingly. I see where you're going, but I can't say I'd have made a strong impression on anyone there. I kept myself to myself back then. I don't even remember the names of my roommates. It was a long time ago. What about later? Dex asked. Ever have a case involving Oyuba or someone who worked there? Zhang frowned. I can't recall anything off the top of my head. I'll check the files. You think that Nightingale was involved with Oyuba, and that's how she knew who I am? Dex shrugged. I don't really think anything yet, but this is what there is to go on. My best guess at the moment is that Nightingale somehow parlayed Colex into her own personal empire. Whether she bought it out, embezzled it, outright stole it, I don't know. But Colex became Nightingale right around here. Dex pointed to some data. And then she died, and all those Colex holdings got distributed in her will. He made a poof gesture with his fingers. Within just a few years, Nightingale managed to take a small chunk of Oyuba and spread it around a bunch of people who, frankly, would be unlikely to ever own even a timeshare of a single res space in a disk block. Zhang's avatar was quiet and still, and Dex recognized that as her thinking. She rarely rushed to a conclusion. It made her good captain, if sometimes a frustrating one. Redistributing wealth from the firms to the regular folks, she said almost to herself. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Dex said, sinking into his chair. It does. Do I need to be concerned that Oyuba is going to come after me? Dex knew she wasn't really asking him, rather she was spitballing ideas as they occurred to her. He answered anyway. I don't think so. According to everything here, no matter how she actually accomplished it, the data trail is 100% by the book. At the end of the day, those disk blocks were legitimately Nightingale's to give, so now the one you have is legitimately yours. Zhang nodded absently, her thoughts obviously still racing. You did some good digging here, Dex, she said. I knew I could count on you. Trouble is, now I just have more questions. Dex smiled wryly. There's a reason we're called investigators, not solvers. There's no guarantee we'll ever get to the bottom of it. I know. Zhang said. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Amen to that. Dex had changed his outfit 4 times before Annabelle finally stopped him. "You look fine," she said, exasperated. "It's not like this is a date." "What if they can tell I'm not, you know, one of them?" he asked. "Does this shirt make me look like a narc?" Annabelle laughed. "I think so long as you're not wearing a manager's uniform, you'll be fine. Some of these people are probably going to be streeters. No one is going to notice what you're wearing." Dex unfastened the dark, silky shirt he was wearing and let it fall off his body. "This is way too expensive. Where's all that stuff I brought with me when I first got here?" Annabelle sighed. She'd taken him shopping after he'd moved to Nice and replaced most of his clothes. He'd just left a corporate job, so he didn't have a lot to replace since he'd had to turn in his uniforms. "How about this?" He held up a vaguely stained, dark brown, shapeless top. "Well, no one could argue that it's too fancy, I'll give you that." "Good." He put it on and smoothed it over his flat belly. "Still fits." Annabelle rolled her eyes, but she was smiling. "It's going to be fine. You said it this morning. There's nothing to worry about here." Dex grunted. "Well, it was easier to say this morning. It's been a while since I've been undercover. Even longer since I've been undercover out here." Annabelle took his hand. "You're a natural, honey. You're gonna do fine. Worst case scenario, ping me and I'll send in the cavalry." "What cavalry?" "I'll get Renee to turn up. He's always good for a disturbance." That made Dex laugh, and he kissed Annabelle before heading for the door. "If you haven't heard from me in 3 hours..." "I know," Annabelle said. "I'll send a search party. Good luck." "Thanks, kiddo," Dex said and stepped onto the lift. By the time he arrived at the park, he'd walked off his nervousness. Now he was more keyed up by the prospect of learning something about the group. Even if they couldn't lead him to whoever was behind the attacks, he was curious. When he really thought about it, he almost wished that they wouldn't have a connection. He'd become interested in the work they were doing. He could even imagine himself joining them for real. He was expecting a group of 5 people gathered around the statue. He saw a small group waiting and took a deep breath. He wandered over, not wanting to look too eager, when he noticed someone familiar. Oh, shit. It was Jamie Aristo. They were walking along the path, directly between Dex and the group. Any minute now, they could turn and see him and completely blow the operation. Dex veered to the right to try to get out of Jamie's line of sight, but it was too late. "Dex!" Jamie called loudly, an arm upraised in greeting. "I'm surprised to see it's you, but maybe I shouldn't have been." Dex found himself rooted to the spot by a combination of confusion and surprise. He still hadn't gotten his head around the situation when Jamie reached him. "Sorry," they said. "You must be Thrown. I'm user 647-B. You must be 428-C. Dex was still at a loss for words, but Jamie took him by the arm and steered him toward the group by the statue. "Let me introduce you to the rest of the Nice branch of BBB. You've been listening to Pixels in Flesh by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information about this and the other Anderson Dexter books, visit darusha.ca. Thanks for listening.